You come up and join us here. You know, it's been a while since I've been at Hugh's church in Cowdenbeath, but I tell you, that night that I was there, I never forgot it, because it was just amazing. And I do look forward to going and seeing you again soon. But thank you.
God bless everyone. Good to see you. And thank the brother for a second opportunity. You don't know if we get second opportunities. Oh, no, I'm fine. But thank the Lord. Before I do anything, can I just push this one second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Before we do anything, can we just pray? Can we have a time? Because you know something, then? If I stand and if I could talk, which I can't, like a politician, and I could put the best things over that you ever heard, but I didn't have the help of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have the anointing of God, then it'd be just worthless. Yeah. But you know, I can say but just a few words, and with God's help, souls can be saved, lives can be changed. So can you pray with me in this? As sinners, say by grace. Ask the Lord just to help them. Lift your voice, be encouraged to pray with me. Thank you, Lord. Pray for the person next to you. Ask the Lord that the Lord will speak to them today. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we just continue your presence this night. We thank you, my God, for the worship this night, the praise, my God, Lord, the testimonies, the fellowship, the welcome we're receiving this place. For my God, we just ask your Father in the precious name of Jesus, the Lord, we have your way. For my God, souls be saved, my God, sickness be healed, my God. Our Father, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of your word, my God. Your word will not come back void, but will find our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your promises we stand, my God. Give me glory. Use me, Father.
Yes.
Nothing but a sinner. Good for nothing. But you love me and you save me.
Yes.
Bless us this night, we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Now I want to be reading to God's word. But before I do, I'd like to give you just a little report. That's if you want to hear a little report.
Yes.
And what God's doing among the people. You know, as my wife says, we're of Kaplan background. We're Kaplan people. Kaplan people aren't something that can become. Kaplan people is something that is. It's not something you can't become a traveler. You're either a traveler or you're not. You're either Scottish or you're not. You're English or not. Irish or not. Traveler or not. You understand that tonight? And so we've been traveling people. We're brought up in caravans. We're brought up and we moved all over the place and we pulled down the roads and we lit outside fires and run with buckets of water until ages 7, 8, 9 and 10 until I came 11 and thought it was a man and didn't have to do it anymore until my mother shouting on me. Buckets of water and fill a big basin up. My mother would boil the water up and she'd wash the poles and all the rest of it and hang them on bushes because there wasn't very many lines, but we're always on a road somewhere, so we're always planting bushes, and she'd clean the bushes off, then she'd shake off the porky tails before she'd fold them and take them in. But that was the way that we lived, you know, and we didn't have much houses in the winter time, only in later years, but we'd see this in the snow this deep and jumping out. My dad said, we go and find some sticks for the fire, and you know, where are we going to find dry sticks in a day of snow? But we always come back with dry sticks and the fire was always locked, right? So that was the type of life we had. But you know, even a type of people, like the traveling man that I am, you know, God had mercy. And he saw that although I believed I didn't do much wrong, and although I'd done plenty wrong, in my eyes self-righteous, but in God's eyes a sin of hell bound. But glory to God, through accepting Jesus Christ, cleansed and heaven's my home. What Jesus done for me. So he saved us, right? And my wife's testimony, just, I'm glad she started when she was 5. I thought she was going to do 8, 9, 10, and 11 there, but, you know. He says, keep it to a certain time. Anyways, I got saved, and I'm going to tell you something. I worked in the church, the Brethren Church, and I enjoyed it. I served the Lord there. I done a little bit of Sunday school with the kids. I drove the Sunday school bus. I served the Lord for a number of years to the best of my ability, which was about so much. But it was all I had to offer. And you know, the little bit I had, God accepted it.
Yes.
Yeah? And he used this there. But some trouble arose. I'm just going to put in the picture very quickly now. What can you keep these all night? Some trouble arose which was nothing to do with me. But I got involved in it, but it was nothing to do with me. They came to me, I didn't go to them. Right? So big color blue, trouble happens, and I moves on. I go somewhere else, settles there. So that'll do me there, through no fault of mine again, not make myself innocent or good, but certainly nothing to do with me. Again, another thing happens, and trouble comes again, and I've got to move again. Everything about me gets smashed to the ground, and home everything gets broke up, and I have to go somewhere else. So I lands just down the road here, just along the road next to Kirkland High School, and there I get a rented house. I said, that'll do me. So me and the wife get sent to a rented house to get things sorted. Then I end up getting a little house, another house, another place, just up into Methil Hill. I bought a little house up there, stayed there. Then I got a little place up in Windy Gates, and I stayed there. In that place in Windy Gates, I said, that's me settled. I'm not going to go anywhere else. But there, once again, in a backslidden state, remember this, in a backslidden state, there, one day, a non-saved man told me about some caravans that were in a field. I went to the field to see the caravans. There, I found Jesus again. It was a tent that was up, and the gospel was getting preached. Now, I'm going to stop, because I don't want to bore you to tears with all that, right? There, I got saved, and I got settled into a work where I am now, today. Now, we got the building, where we are in County Bay. I've never asked to give testimony. I've never asked to come here, but the brother who kindly offered. I've never asked to preach. I've never asked to sing. Nobody would ask me to sing. With no one to hear me. But the long and the short of it, right, is we're in a building now. And some of the congregation tonight, Andra and Emma, her brother Adam and her sister Bella, who's coming along tonight, is some of the congregation. They can verify everything I say, what I'm going to say. In the building, I'm going to give you a wee quick report. It's only a small building which we bought a number of years ago. 18 years ago. There, it got so big, a meeting with just a few chairs, half a dozen chairs, some very good brothers who is of the travel community, was among us and sisters, and there we got together, five people, and we used to pray in the prayer meeting. Today, the prayer meeting is busting at the seams in the building. The doors have to be left open and they're standing. Is that right? Yeah. They're standing outside at the back and we can't get them in the prayer meeting. Oh, there is another meeting, but isn't it full? You know, people go off, nice weather, some away in the trailers and caravans away. We'll find that there's maybe not this money in on certain nights. But the Lord has been blessed there so much. Now, what we've done was, because the building was getting so full and people were standing outside and some meetings couldn't even get in, we've been praying for a number of years for the building next door. So we've been asked the Lord, Lord, give us this building. And you know what? Not in a year, not in 5 years, not even in 10 years. It took 18 years, but the Lord heard our cry and gave us the building next door. We bought it, right? Now, after buying it and praying for 18 years, we bought the building next door and we knocked it down. So, anybody outside that building here, let's pray, Lord, give us that building. And then the Lord gives it, we take a big hand. What are they doing? But what we've done was, we've knocked the building down and now we're extending our church building out. So while our building will seat probably anything between 70 to 100, yeah, 70 seats, but take about 100. That way, we're turning the building and running it this way, and it can seat now 250. Wow. Right, so that is the goal, that is what we're looking for, and that is what we've been praying for. So with the help of the Lord, you know, maybe you're in a situation and you've been praying for a particular thing, and listen, a year gone by, 2, 5, and 10 years, whatever happened. I want to tell you something, God is faithful, right? Maybe 5 years ago, we maybe wouldn't have had the people, well, we've been filled a long time. But maybe 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to cope. But you know, just at the right time, God has provided. And no, if you're seeking God in any situation or anything, don't give up. Because just at the right time, God will be faithful. And you will be saved. If we don't ask amiss, then God will give us what we need. So that's just a wee quick update on what God's doing in County right now. The church is full. There is young men who never preached before, so preaching the word of God. There is men who haven't led before, up leading the worship and the praise, and which was absolutely lovely here tonight. So God is moving. There was a young man, I've got to share this with you. There was a young man family of four, or maybe five, and he was the only boy, and he was spoilt rotten. And anything and everything he had, he wanted it. And he used to give his mother and father a life like a dog. Many times, I could have just walked past and went, I said, the Lord told me to do that, but he didn't, and I couldn't. But many times I could have done give him a to sit down. But I want to tell you something. That young a renegade. Do what I want when I want, because my life nobody will tell me. After many years, he went through 3 years of training. Many times I've asked him to sing a song, and we got put him to sing a song. Now he's making CDs for the Lord. Yeah? He's done 3 years of training. And now he's co-pastor with me in the church. He co-pastor. He's a better preacher than me. Certainly a better singer than me. A better man of God than me. But you know what? I thank God for him. But it shows you, well, not him, not me. Not, I tell you one thing. You just be faithful to the Lord, and God can take something that's nothing and make it into someone for some reason. Yeah. Do something for him. So, like, listen, God is faithful. Listen, I bet God on the word of God. Last time I was here, with a very good welcome, I got told at the door, too long, too loud.
No.
I came in expecting to hear about Christmas, and I left thinking it was Easter. I said, well, praise God, you know this, Jesus is alive.
Hey, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Luke 23 and verse 33. And I'm only going to take a small reading, so bear with me. Remember this. Very, very, very little schooling. Very little attendance when I should have been schooling. So bear with my reading. 23, chapter 23, verse 32. It says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. That's talking about Jesus. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And this superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today, hallelujah, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I'm sure God will bless the public reading of his word. Now I'll just leave that there. It may blow over. It may not, it may well, it has. Never mind. God's good. God's good. No, sorry. Leave it. It'll be alright. That's fine. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to tell you just for a few minutes about a wonderful story. It's a dreadful story, but a glorious story. I want to talk to you a few minutes about one called Jesus. And I want to talk about another man whose name I do not know, but one day I'll ask him in glory. There was this man called Jesus who done nothing wrong. The word of God, the Bible tells me, was a perfect man in all his ways. You know, I don't see in the Bible anywhere where this man Jesus ever told a lie. I don't read in the Bible anywhere where this man, Jesus, ever stole anything. Nor even had a wicked thought. But I do read in the Bible that he'd done all things well. I read how he could make the lame walk. I can read how he made the mute talk. How he made the blind see. And how he could even raise the dead. I can read about the wonderful things that he'd done. And I can read about the people that he had time for. The people that no others would spend time with. You know what? Jesus had time for them. There was those who lay by a pool and had no one to help them. But you know, Jesus came along and says, take up thy mat, once. And he rose up strong, lame. Lay there for 30 years, but yet strong in the leg. After Jesus, there was those who was covered in leprosy. All sores and all shrunk back. You know, ones that people would keep away, they would cry to them. And once, you know, people would shun away from them. I don't want the likes of you about me. Go away from me. No time. You know what he's got. You know what he is. Look at him. There he goes. You see him. Stay back from him. And you know what? He'll cry, have mercy on me. And you know what? Jesus had mercy on him. See, Jesus came to save the sinner. Jesus could look down and see a piece of nothing like I am. A traveling man that nobody would trust. A traveling man that nobody would really have any time, certainly wouldn't let them in their house, certainly wouldn't let them use the bathroom. I want to tell you something. Jesus has got a mansion for me in glory.
Amen.
He's got a mansion for me in glory. But I'll tell you something nice. You maybe think, well, I am nothing, and I am a nobody. But I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Maybe you feel that you've been shunned. Maybe you feel that nobody has time for me. I am a nothing and I am a nobody. I have nobody to turn. I want to tell you something. Turn to Jesus. Maybe you never felt the love and the hand or cuddle around you. I want to tell you something. Jesus wants to put his arms around you tonight. Jesus wants to love you tonight. Jesus cares for you. I'll tell you something. Jesus loves you so much. Jesus went to a place called Calvary. This place that we read about a minute ago. You see, Jesus, after going through a mockery of a trial and all false accusations come against him, and the people were saying this about him and that about him, and nobody could agree, and the judge of the day could stand there and say, well, I've listened to all you've got to say.
Father, please forgive me.
I've heard all you've got to say. I've looked at all your evidence. Is that the best you can bring? Is there any more you can say? Because I can find no fault in him. You see, Jesus was perfect and there was no fault in him. He done nothing wrong. But yet, he went to a place called Calvary. Who did he go to Calvary for if he'd done nothing? Listen, let me explain something. Calvary was the place of punishment outside the city, a hell leading out. And there they would take men up who'd done great crimes. Ah, they'd be murderers and they'd be robbed. Listen, Jesus wasn't the only person that was ever crucified, but many were crucified. The only difference from Jesus and all the rest, Jesus was innocent. He had no guilt. There was loads of probably roads lined with people getting crucified. There'd have been robbers and there'd have been thieves and liars. All types of things that they've done wrong. And tonight I don't want to go down that road and talk about too many of them. But a multitude, a wrongdoing. A multitude of men deserving for on that cross for the crimes. Like the presence tonight will be full of people who have done crimes and they're there because they have done the crimes and they're there doing their punishment and they're doing the time. And these people would have been guilty and they've all been hanging for the things that they have done. But only one person was separate. Only one person makes a difference there today, and that's why I preach about him. That's why Light preach about him. That's why my brothers stand in the streets and preach about him. Because he was the only one who was innocent and done no wrong. He was the one that was separated from everybody else. You see, his accusation above his head was simply, King of the Jews. If I were hanging there, and I said it last time, I don't want to bore you here this time. If I was hanging there, and my sentence was put above my head for what I'd done, and my charge was laid out, and my charge sheet was laid beside me, I tell you one thing, I wouldn't have enough time to tell you how much they could write on it. But Jesus, all they could say about was him, was Jesus. Listen, all they say about him was king of the Jews. But he done no wrong. Hanging there, innocent. They takes him out and they leads him out the city. Now, let me put you in the picture. A mockery crowd, the people reject him. They take one who was a murderer and one who should have been hung in his stead. They take him and crucify Jesus, and they take him and they set his one free. Now, Jesus is going outside the city. Come with me, help me tonight. I need you. Come with me tonight. Here is a picture of a scene. One who's just been lashed and the skin tore from his body, scourged, whipped round him, rotten flesh, tearing skin, bones sticking out, nails alive, pain and aching. A face has been battered and buffed more than any man. A beard that's been plucked and spat upon and a crown of thorns on his head. It's not a pretty picture. All beat up, battered up, tore up, spat upon, and listen, driven. And they're still shouting at them, and they're and out beside the city. Where are they taking them? They're taking them up to this hill, this place of punishment, a place called Calvary. He's up there, and he's all battered and bruised and back open, and they leave him. Now, I do not know. I was not there, but one day I can ask him. But the piece of wood, I do not believe, and it would be nice polished wood like you see up in these nice rafters and these nice beams going across here, lovely and polished, looking beautiful. I do not think they'd waste beautiful wood in these men. I do believe it would just be a rough piece of wood. I don't know. I wasn't there. But there, they leave him down, and the nails, they drive these pins through his wrists and through his feet, and there they hang him on a tree and drop him in the slot, and there he'd be hanging. On one side, there would be another hanging, one on his left, and one on his right. We've just read about them, and they were hanging there, and Jesus was the innocent one, the perfect Lamb of God, the one that could have called more than 12 legions of angels. He went, as it were, a lamb to the slaughter. Anytime he could have done off that cross, but if he had ever came down at that cross, then there'd be no heaven for you, and there'd be no heaven for me. But he loved us so much, he hung there, beaten, battered. No man take my life. He laid his life down and had power to take it back. There he was hanging. There was one I want to talk about for a minute on this side. And there was one on the other side. Now I'll probably have them on both sides tonight before I'm done. But you'll know where I'm coming from. But there'll be one on the, we'll just say the right side. And hanging there. And the other one on the left side, hanging there. And at first, both of them are throwing insults. They're chucking out at him. They're chucking out at him. Ah, save us. And they're giving all sorts of things to him. I do not know all. The Bible doesn't tell me all. But I can imagine. And they were chucking these insults at him. And one could turn around and say, we'll just see the man on the left. Could turn around and say, ah, listen, if you be who you be, save yourself and save us. I want to talk to you about this man for a minute. Listen to me. Here was a man who was guilty of his sin. Here was a man guilty as charged. Here was a man hanging here, deserving exactly what he was getting according to the rule of the day. This man had no interest in repentance. This man had no interest in heaven. This man only wanted down. It'd be like someone who's been caught in the act of something, standing before a judge, and listen, not sorry because they were caught or because they've done the crime, only sorry because they're caught and going to do the time. Can you understand? Here was one, get me down. Here was one who's only interested in the here and now. Get me down, come down, get me down. He was only interested in today. But I want to talk to you for a minute about the one on the other side. Here was one who knew he had done wrong. It was one that was guilty as charged. He says, listen, we hang here justly because we have done what's right. But this man has done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing wrong. Do you not fear God? He's crying. Here was one that realized. Now, this is what I'm going to touch on for a minute. That's what God's gave me to give you tonight. And God doesn't give something for nothing, but he gives something for you and for me tonight. And here's what God gave me. I was sitting in my car just over here before this meeting. The rain was pouring. My wife was snoring. I'm sorry, darling. The rain was pouring. And I was spending time with God. And I was saying, Lord, what do I bring tonight? Where did I come from? But see, I didn't go planning. I don't go and I should. Bible says, study, show yourself approved. But I said, Lord, what is needed for tonight? And sitting there in the car, I was praying and I was crying. And this is where the Lord took me to. This is the thought I want you to think about just for a few minutes. In the day we live in, nobody's interested in thinking they're going to die. Everybody thinks they'll live forever. Everybody thinks, well, I don't care. I'm thinking about planning my holiday this year. I'm planning on my next whatever. I'm going to go here, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to try and get myself a home, or I'm going to try and do something different. Everybody's about the here and now and the planning for the future. Nobody's ever thinking, well, one day, you know, it's going to be over. Nobody, everybody's interested in today. But here was a man that would realize that, remember this, he'd been found guilty, he's been put to the cross, and here's a man who realized that he was going to die. Here was a man that realized that this was his last day. Here was a man that realized, listen, very soon he's going to breathe his last. Remember, this man would have been scourged probably. This man probably had been battered. This man was certainly nailed. This man would have been hanging there. Listen to me for a minute. Here was a man that realized that death was imminent. Death was sure. Friend, tonight I want to tell you something. You maybe have great plans for tomorrow, but the Bible tells me that nobody's promised tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. Today, if you've heard God's word, do not harden your heart. Here was one that wasn't promised tomorrow. And he knew that day he was going to breathe his last, and today could be the last day for you in this place, that today could be my, maybe even before I'm finished this message, I could go to be with the Lord. Here was one that was there, and he was hanging, and he knew that death was imminent. I want to ask you this now. If you were sure that death was today, would you live the way you do? Or would you cry out in Jesus? Here was one that was knew that death, but wait a minute, there was more. Here was also something else this man realized. Wait a minute, death is sure, I'm going to die. But what about eternity? What about, where am I going to go? Here was something that realized that when he breathed his last, that he was going to stand before a judge. I'm going to tell you something. If you breathe your last today, you will stand before a judge. And not any judge of the land, one who will judge the judges of this land.
Yes.
He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you one thing, all will bend the knee and all will confess that he is Lord. And here he realized that if I die today, where am I going to be? And where was his hope? There was certainly no hope in his family. There was certainly no hope in his wits or his cleverness. He had no money to buy. He had nothing to put in exchange. He was helpless. He was hanging there helpless. And I want to tell you something. If you stand before God without Jesus Christ, you will be helpless. No money, it'll be too late. No good works, it'll be too late. Nothing you can give in exchange, because it'll be too late. You'll be standing there, and you will be helpless. Here was a man that realized that the danger he was in. Here was a man who realized, I'm helpless, and there's nothing that I can do. Oh, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. This man had nothing to offer. So he simply looks to Jesus, and he sees the answer. Friend, tonight, you listen, the Bible tells me all have sinned. I'm not picking on anybody. All have sinned, and I'm going to be saying this tonight, and I don't mean to offend, but I'll stand in the word of God. Sister, I went tonight, you're a sinner. You sinned. All have sinned. You maybe not like it tonight, but tonight, all have sinned. And that means you, brothers. I don't mean to point the finger, but that means all have sinned. That means me.
Yes.
Hell await the sinner. A place of darkness, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of separation. There's a place, I want to tell you something that I fear, but not in Christ, not in Jesus. But I fear for your soul, my friend, tonight, if you don't know Jesus. There's a place of separation. I've been told many times this. My brothers here probably have been on the street. When I get to heaven, when I get to hell, all my friends are there. I'm going to have a party. I tell you one thing, there is no parties in hell. There is no hope in hell. I tell you something, if there was an opportunity, if a man in this place, this day, or out there, got 10-year sentence, I want to tell you, one day he will be released. He can look forward to a release date, but there is no release date in hell. It's a time and eternity, a place of darkness and separation. My friend, I want to tell you something. Hell awaits the sinner, and this man on the cross realized it, and he looked to the one who's roaring at Jesus and is mocking Jesus at the other side, and he thought, do you not fear God? Friend in this place, do you not fear God? Do you not know that he has please tonight? Fear the one who has power tonight to cast a soul into hell. Yet, this one realizes he's a sinner. This one realizes that he's done wrong. This one realizes, but he looks at his hope in Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. He turns to Jesus. Ah, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Friend, tonight there's a kingdom. There's a heavenly home for all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Well, there is no darkness. A place I don't want to go and I don't want to work on the flesh and I talk to you about the streets as of gold. I don't want to talk to you as of the pearly gates. I'm not interested in all the gold because God just cast him into the earth, and all the pearls because he cast them to the bottom of the sea. They mean nothing to God. I only want to go to heaven because Jesus is there. Amen. He's the one, he's the beauty I seek. Amen. He's the one I look for. Even where there is no night, but his very radiance will light. Where there is no tears. There is no illness. There is no cancers. There is no diabetes. There is no autisms. My wife says earlier that I've got 4 grandchildren. I think we've only 3. Not many, 3. There is no autisms. There is no old age and aching bones. Sore elbows. You know what? It's the brand new creation. All this old corruption will go by new creation. There is hope in Jesus. Not for a day, but for time and eternity. Friend in this place tonight, this man cries out, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He doesn't shout to the guards. He doesn't shout to the Romans. He doesn't shout to the pilot. He cries to the only one who could help him. And that was Jesus. Remember me this day. He knew that day was sure. He knew that day was nigh. He knew he was heading to a lost eternity. But he knew he was helping Jesus. You know, friend, this night, Jesus cares for you. Yeah. Jesus loves you. There is hope tonight for you. I don't care your background. I don't care if you're a millionaire. Or if you're like me, just a normal working man, or if whatever your situation is now, I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus cares for you. That is hope tonight. He tells, remember me. Now Jesus could have turned around and says, he had every right and every authority being the King of Kings, the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, the one who says to that sea down there, come this far and come no further. The one who put the great light in the sky for the sun for day and the lesser light the moon for night. And that starry host with 5 words said, let there be stars also. The creator of all heavens and earth and all things therein, the one who gave you life, the one who gave you the heartbeat that you have just taken. He could have turned around and he could have said, because the authority, the power is you. Do you know what you've done? Do you know all those things? That's not Jesus' way. You know, Jesus is going to seek and to save that which was lost. But he said, today will be with me in paradise. I think that would be the wonderful, glorious words ever to hear. And one day I look forward to being there. Listen, you will be with me in paradise. Today. Today. Now there was 2 men. As I say, he's not cross. And how am I doing for time? I'm running along. Listen, can I have 5 more minutes?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, put off. Right? He says, listen, day you'll be with me in paradise. Picture the thought. Knowing that your sins were forgiven. Knowing that you were going to breathe your last at any minute. But knowing you were going to be with Jesus for eternity. Knowing that you had no hope and cast out in hell bound. But then all of a sudden knowing that you are saved and heaven will be your home. Sins forgiven, washed, cleansed. Oh, listen tonight. That man must have been rejoicing in his heart. I don't care about the pins and the nails. I don't care about how they come along and how they broke his legs, because that was going to happen anyway. Remember, there was two men, but there was one who was outside Christ. He was going through exactly the same. He was suffering the same. He'd been battered the same. He was nailed the same. He was hanging the same. His legs were about to be broke just the same. But who had no hope, for he did not have Christ. They came along. Now listen to me. Bear with me because I'm closing. They came to him, and there he would have been hanging. And they took a bat. I don't know, the shape of the bat. I can only think. But they poof! And as he was hanging there, you picture it? Went to the other way. Ha! God, couldn't stand up. Couldn't even lift now. Can you picture it? Hanging. Couldn't breathe. Lungs filling up. Drowning. No strength to pull himself up anymore. No legs to push himself, but hanging. I want to tell you something. That man, broken legs. How he would die, he would be his last day. The Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with God. Here he was now. Picture the scene. Here was one now who was with Jesus. No ailments, no pain, no suffering, but only the love of God. Picture it with me. Think, will you let your mind run with me tonight? There was the other whose agony, legs would be broken, hands would pierce, hanging, so go there. But hey, one thing. Whatever he suffered there upon that cross was a far sight less than he would suffer in hell. But one extreme to another extreme. Two men, to me they remain nameless. Which one would you be tonight if you breathed your last? You don't know the suffering I've been through on this earth. I don't need to know. I want to tell you something. Jesus already knows all about it. Yes. Ah, but you don't know what I have done. I don't want to know because he's already recorded it. Ah, but I've been a good person. No one's righteous. No, not one. All have gone astray. All have gone their own way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Two men, both guilty, both paid a price, but one received forgiveness. I'm going to stop with saying this. There is one in hell today. I'm not going to go into but this is to happen. I'm talking just, there is one in hell today. And if he knew that day what he knows now, he too would have cried, remember me. But today has cries fall on empty. On the other hand, the other one could say, the best thing I ever done, and I've had many testimonies, was give my life to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What about you, friend? Will you give your life to Jesus? I don't care if you're guilty, he's came to forgive. Will you give your life to Jesus? I'll do it my way. There's many a good man, many an upright man, clean living man, who thought he could do things his way in hell today. There's many a one who's done many things wrong. Let's come into the forgiveness of God and Lord today. I don't know about you, but for me, I choose Jesus.
Amen.
Will you choose Jesus? Can I hand you over to him, one more brother, tonight? And tonight, I don't know how we do things here. I've got great liberty tonight. I don't know. But what I can say tonight is this. What would we do things back in Crown Gate and apart? Freedom for my brother tonight. Right? Can we all stand? He's able to stand in the night. If you're able to stand in the night. If you're not, then please keep your seat. I want to ask you tonight, if you need Jesus, if you can follow the night and give it to Jesus. If you believe what I've said tonight, then tonight, will you come forward and then give your life to Jesus? Amen. Thank you. Brother, will you come and pray with this man, brother? Come and pray with this man, brother. Please. Would there be another night? Will we come forward now?